The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 18, text number 63, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on April 22nd, 2010, in Riga, Latvia.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 18, text number 63. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Atite jnanamakhyatam guyad guyatarang maya vim rishyaitad dasheshena yatechchasi tatha kuru. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Thus I have explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on this fully, and then do what you wish to do. Purport. The Lord has already explained to Arjuna the knowledge of Brahma-Bhuta. One who is in the Brahma-Bhuta condition is joyful. He never laments, nor does he desire anything. That is due to confidential knowledge. Krishna also discloses knowledge of the Supersoul. This is also Brahman knowledge, knowledge of Brahman, but it is superior. Here, the words, yachechchasi tatha kuru, as you like, you may act, indicate that God does not interfere with a little independence of a living entity. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has explained in all respects how one can elevate his living condition. The best advice imparted to Arjuna is to surrender unto the Supersoul seated within his heart. By right discrimination, one should agree to act according to the order of the Supersoul. That will help one to become situated constantly in Krishna consciousness, the highest perfectional stage of human life. Arjuna is being directly ordered by the Personality of Godhead to fight. Surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in the best interest of the living entities. It is not for the interest of the Supreme. Before surrendering, one is free to deliberate on this subject as far as the intelligence goes. That is the best way to accept the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such instruction comes also through the spiritual master, the bona fide representative of Krishna.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatan Vita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva. Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So, yachetchasi tatha kuru. As you like, you may act. Krishna gives the independence. He doesn't force you to be a puppet in his hand. You can act independently to try to gratify your senses if you like. Or you can choose to satisfy the senses of Krishna. As Prabhupada points out here, one should deliberate on this subject as far as the intelligence goes. So the question is, how far does the intelligence go? The intelligence goes quite a long way, actually. It'll bring you almost to the spiritual platform. So one should understand very clearly with the intelligence. By carefully studying the message of the Bhagavad Gita. And then, armed with clear understanding, one should act in such a way that is beneficial for one's eternal well-being. Most people nowadays, because they are lacking proper understanding, instead of acting for their eternal well-being, they act instead for their temporary well-being. Temporary well-being is known as preya. Eternal well-being is known as Shreya. So you have a choice, Shreya or Preya. Do that which is immediately pleasurable. Quick, instant gratification of your senses. Or do that which is ultimately beneficial. It takes intelligence to act for one's ultimate benefit. A dog, sabaka, you see, he cannot care for his ultimate benefit. Or svinya also, you see. They cannot care for their ultimate benefit. Because they do not know who they actually are. They are thinking, I am sabaka. Ruff, ruff. I am svinya. They do not know the eternal spiritual being, you see. Therefore, they simply go after the Indriya Seva. They simply go after the pleasure of the senses. But how long will those senses please you? I may try to gratify my senses. But how long I can enjoy sense gratification? I may think, well, I like to eat. So I eat as much as possible. But how much time can you enjoy eating out of 24 hours a day? Only a few minutes. If you eat too much, you get sick. Or someone may say, well, I enjoy sex. So for how many minutes can you enjoy sex throughout the 24 hours? These pleasures are limited. You cannot enjoy sense pleasure 24 hours a day. It's not possible. People try to do it, but nobody has ever been able to enjoy sense pleasure 24 hours a day. It's not possible. Because as long as we remain on the material platform of the senses, we are always going to have dualities. Sukha, dukkha. Happiness and distress. It's like there's day and night. There's winter and summer. Sense pleasure is always like that. It's always within the realm of dualities. So if one wants to enjoy 24 hours daily, then one must come to a higher level of consciousness. Prabhupada is given a wonderful phrase here in his purport. I'm really impressed with his English. I don't know what it is in the local tongue, but he says, the highest perfectional stage of human life. This is how Prabhupada defines Krishna consciousness. The highest perfectional stage of human life. See, an average person, he thinks, well, the highest perfection is to have a lot of money, to be famous, to be powerful. That's the perfection of human life. But even people who have these big, big positions, they can't enjoy 24 hours. It's not possible. Because their happiness is based on sense pleasure. So, the intelligent person, that person who is philosophically inclined, they don't go after the pathway of the sabakas and the svinyas. Or the ashyols. They take this pathway, you see. Mahajano yena gatasapanta. One should follow the pathway of the great Mahajanas. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Svayambhur Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Praladho Janako Bhishmo Balirvayasakirvayam. These are the 12 Mahajans. Svayambhur, that refers to Lord Brahma. Svayambhur Narada Shambhu. As Narada Muni and Lord Shiva.
Narada and Shiva.
Kumara, the four Kumaras. Kapila, the Lord Kapila Dev. Kumara Kapilo, let's see. Svayambhur Narada Shambhu. Kumara Kapilo Manu. Manu is Svayambhuva
Manu.
Prahlado, that's Prahlad Maharaj. Janaka was Janak Maharaj, the father of Sita Devi. Bhishma, that's grandfather Bhishma. Balir, that's Bali Maharaj. Vyasakir, that's Shukadeva Goswami. And Vayam, that Lord Shiva is speaking. I mean, Yamaraj is speaking. We. So these are the 12 great Mahajanas. And we are meant to follow in their footsteps. This is how we will attain the perfectional stage. Krishna consciousness. If we follow in the footsteps of these great personalities. So what would you like to do? Krishna is giving you freedom now. Do you want sense enjoyment? Or do you want bhakti? That's a choice each one of us makes at every second. At every second we are showing Krishna what we want. I may officially say, well, I want bhakti. But what choice are you making with your consciousness at every minute? Are you thinking of Krishna? Or are you thinking of sense enjoyment? Because whatever you're thinking now, that accumulates. At the time of death, it will be determined what you're actually most interested in. If throughout my life I am more interested in sense enjoyment than I am in Krishna consciousness. What do you think I will think about at the time of death? Even though I officially said, well, I want to be a devotee, but throughout my whole life I was always thinking about sense enjoyment most of the time. Then what do you think I'll think about at the time of death if I was always thinking about sense enjoyment 90% of the time? You think I'll think about Krishna or think about sense enjoyment? The point is, whatever you're most interested in during your lifetime, that's where your mind will naturally go at the time of death. So, if you want to go back to home, back to Godhead, if we want to go back to Godhead, we better start thinking about pure bhakti right now. That I don't want to have desires for sense gratification anymore. I don't want them. Let me gratify my senses only insofar as is necessary to keep body and soul together. And the balanced energy should be put into achieving the highest perfectional stage of human life. At every minute, 24 hours a day, in all times, all places, in all circumstances. Whether I'm at the temple, or at home, I'm riding in a car or a streetcar, or walking down the street, may I always be cultivating pure devotional service within my heart. You see, this is the determination required to actually free the consciousness from this dirt. We have to be determined that I must become a pure devotee. It's not easy. And it is easy. At the same time. If we do the process properly, it's easy. But if we do the process improperly, it's very difficult. This is why it's mentioned here through the spiritual master. By Prabhupada, he mentions the spiritual master here in the purport. And who is the spiritual master? Srila Prabhupada explains. He is the bona fide representative of Krishna. This means that the spiritual master says that somebody else is the supreme and not Krishna. He's not a bona fide spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master is that person who represents Krishna. He doesn't say that he is Krishna, or that you can become Krishna. He doesn't say that Shiva is the Supreme Lord, or that Durga is the Supreme Lord. He presents that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are His eternal servants. And by following Him, following Krishna, we will achieve the highest perfectional stage of human life. So, now I can ask if there's any questions.
Understand and see.
Oh, we can see the goal.
See the goal. Yeah. What are the obstacles which may be on our way to achieve that?
Yes. What are the obstacles for achieving the goal? Well, a good place to start is studying the 10 offenses. The 10 namaparads. Because when you attain pure chanting, Shuddhanam, then the goal is achieved. So, therefore, to avoid these 10 offenses is the most important thing. The first offense to avoid is to not blaspheme or criticize the devotees. Who've dedicated their lives to spreading Krishna consciousness. The second offense is to consider the names of the demigods to be on the same level as the name of Krishna. The third offense is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. Fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature or literature in pursuance of the Vedic versions. The fifth offense is to consider the glories of the chanting of the holy names to be imagination. The sixth offense is to give some interpretation on the holy name. Seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting. The eighth offense is to chant Hare Krishna for some material purpose. Ninth offense is to instruct the confidential glories of the holy name to persons who are not ready to hear it. Tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the holy names. And to hold on to one's material attachments. And it's also offensive to be inattentive while chanting. So these are all the obstacles. We become critical of devotees. We doubt that Krishna is the supreme. We don't strictly follow the orders of our guru. We don't have full faith in the Vedic scriptures. We think the glories of a holy name are exaggerated. It couldn't be that great. Or we try to analyze the holy names from the standpoint of Sanskrit grammar without understanding their spiritual potency. Or we commit sins in the strength of chanting. That by chanting I become purified. So that's very good. Now I will commit some sin. And I will chant some extra rounds to make up for it. So we have to be very careful to avoid such things. If we can avoid these 10 offenses, then our chanting will become perfect very quickly. So whenever you want to know about the obstacles, just study those 10 offenses very carefully. And judge yourself accordingly. How strictly am I avoiding the offenses? In what way am I committing offenses? If you can see how you're committing offenses, that's very good. Someone may say, well, I don't want to see how I'm committing offenses because then I'll become discouraged. I would rather think that I'm a first-class devotee. Because that will make me feel happy. I don't want to hear about how I'm committing offenses. That would discourage me. But this is not an intelligent way to think. See, the lowest stage is called unconscious incompetence. One is making so many mistakes but doesn't realize it. Just like it is sometimes said, ignorance is bliss. Because you don't know how many offenses you're committing, you feel all happy. I've seen devotees like this, very neophyte devotees. They walk around like this all the time. They commit so many offenses, but they're always... That's called unconscious incompetence. The next stage is conscious incompetence. Now you're becoming humble. Because the devotees have mercifully pointed out to you your faults. Now you're beginning to see what your anarthas are, you see. Now you're in a better position. Even though you might not be walking around like this anymore, you're a little more sober. In that sobriety, you're finding a much greater sense of peace and happiness within your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go from conscious incompetence to conscious competence.
Mm-hmm.
Whereby carefully regulating your activities, you become properly situated in Krishna consciousness. You become very expert in sadhana bhakti. But then there's even a higher stage, that's unconscious competence. That's when you become a completely pure devotee. And automatically, even without trying to regulate your senses, you're always engaged in pure devotional service. So right now, to a great extent, we're still at the level called unconscious incompetence. This is why we need devotee association. I cannot see my faults because I'm proud. But you can see my faults. So in this way, we point out to each other in a loving way the faults of each other, you see. In this way, we can advance from unconscious incompetence to conscious incompetence. And then from there, we progress to conscious competence. And then ultimately to unconscious competence. Completely liberated soul. So, one should learn how to see in what way am I committing the Dhamma Paras. Because as one gains a clear understanding of how he is committing the Dhamma Paras, then you can eliminate them and become pure devotee. Are there any other questions?
Could you please explain more in details about second offense, how it appears in our daily life?
It depends. It could be understood that if one takes other things as the supreme. In other words, it directly mentions the demigods. This is a big issue for people in India who grow up where everybody worships the demigods. For us here in the West, who didn't even know anything about the demigods, we just heard about Krishna, first thing. It's not so much of an issue for us. In the strict definition of the offense, but if you take it in a broader way, we are very much subject to the second offense. We also have our demigods here in the Western world. Do you know who are the demigods in the Western world? The movie stars, the rock and roll stars, the soccer stars, these are our demigods, you see. The politicians also. So we also have this problem of demigod worship. In our heart, we have different heroes in this material world. We worship them like gods. And they compete with Krishna for our affection. So that can also be a problem for us, you see. I'm still adore this particular author or musician or athlete or whatever it may be. So we have to purify our heart by channeling all our love to Krishna, to Guru and to Krishna's devotees. And in this way, we'll become free of the second offense.
It's not now, but I used to have, while my brahmachari life, one devotee who I was holding nearly as a divine position. Is that also be the...
If the devotee is properly situated in Krishna consciousness, you can worship him within your heart. Anandai Balohari Vajavrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava Padai Manjayaman. You know that song by Narottam Das Thakur? He says, ecstatically chant Hare Krishna. Worship the holy Dham. And worship the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. So Vaishnavas, that's something different. If a Vaishnava is following this path of bhakti, then he should be worshipped within your heart. By worshipping the Vaishnava, then Krishna becomes even more pleased. In fact, Krishna says in the Adi Purana, Ye me bhakta jana parto, na me bhaktas chate jana, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhaktas te me bhakta tamamata. He says, the one who is my devotee, he's not my devotee. But the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So if you are a devotee of a devotee, that is very good. That is the only way that Krishna will accept your bhakti. If one is not devoted to devotees, what are they called? Kanishta Arikari. Materialistic devotee. One cannot become a true transcendentalist until they learn to love the devotees. So if you adore a devotee, it's very good. In my heart, I always adore my dear Vishnu Janamaraj, who made me a devotee. I always adore him and love him very much. By his kindness, I have come to this Krishna consciousness movement. I can never forget that loving kindness of His Holiness, Vishnu Jana Maharaj. So in this way, if we love the devotees, you see, that is very good for our progress. Any devotee who helps you along this pathway, he is your guru. You have your Diksha Guru one, but Siksha Guru, you can have thousands of Siksha Gurus. Those devotees who help you and inspire you in your bhakti, they are Siksha Guru. So the more you can adore your Diksha Guru and your Siksha Gurus, the more you make progress.
vairāk jūs godināsiet gan vienu, gan otru, gan dikšu, gan šišu guru, jo vairāk jūs progresēsiet sacerēt.
Any other questions?
If we understand the position of the demigods as Vaishnavas and we ask for help in our path of devotion, is it okay?
Ask help from the demigods?
Yeah. Realizing what they are, Vaishnavas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm. Actually, if you simply worship Krishna, that is sufficient. Because the demigods act can only do what is sanctioned by Krishna. It is stated in the Bhagavatam, akamo sarva, let's see, sarva kama, what is it? Akama sarva kama, moksha kama udaradi, tivrena bhakti yogena yajetu purusham param. Whether you have all material desires or whether you have no material desires, or you want mukti, mercy, you must worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead with all of your devotional strength. So there's no need to worship a demigod. You need to ask. It's like you simply need to ask something, you can ask Krishna for everything. The demigods can only give what Krishna is authorizing them to give. Eko bahunam yo vidadati kama. Krishna is the one supplier of everything. But if someone is, if sometimes you're in India and you're on pilgrimage and there's some temple of a demigod, then you could always ask them for Krishna to bless you with Krishna consciousness. There's no harm. But to distract yourself from worshipping Krishna and to pray for some demigods doesn't make
sense.
That you bring some photographs of demigods into your house and put them on your altar and worship arti to them and ask for their mercy. No, there's no need to do this thing. First of all, to describe the demigods, they're not even pure devotees. So it's better to pray to Guru, you see, than the demigod. In fact, it is stated in Shastra, Guru, he is the sum total of all the demigods. So if you're thinking of praying to the demigods, by praying to your guru, you get the benefit of praying to all the demigods. So why waste time praying to demigods? Beg your spiritual master to bless you with pure bhakti. Help you control your mind and senses. To keep you 24 hours engaged in Krishna consciousness. And if you simply beg for pure bhakti, everything else will come. Ananyas chintayanto mam teisham, like that. Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryapasate Tesham nityaviyuktanam yogachemam vaham yaham. For those, that's 922. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, preserve what they have and I carry what they lack.
Bet tiem, kas vienmēr ar sirdi un es varu būt man, lai šķi prāt uz manu pārpuslīgo veido, es dodu to, kas viņam trūkst, un saglabāju to, kas viņam ir.
So the demigods giving those things? No, Krishna is Dakri giving.
Vai padīvi dod to? Nē, Krishna dod.
Why approach the demigods with some facility when Krishna will personally give you everything? Would you rather get it from the demigod or get it from Krishna directly?
He's trying to understand this process since in one of the purports Prabhupada mentioned what the devotees on earth, demigods and Krishna, they all kind of interact and help each other. So devotees getting help from demigods as well.
Yes, the demigods, the more you become pure in Krishna consciousness, the more the demigods will help you, that's a fact. But you don't need to directly ask them for help. They will be happy to see that you're advancing in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada never told us that we had to pray the demigods for this and that thing. He taught us simply to beg Krishna for his mercy. And then the demigods can give so many facilities. They're most pleased by Krishna Bhakti. Just like Lord Shiva, he used to come for the kirtans in our temple in London. Prabhupada said that Lord Shiva, he came and attended our temple, our kirtans at Berry Place Temple in London. They did not pray to Lord Shiva. They were chanting Hare Krishna. But Lord Shiva loves the Maha Mantra. So Prabhupada told the devotees, you make an asana for Lord Shiva. In the temple room, there was a special asana installed for Lord Shiva in the London temple. So in this way, you see, they didn't have to pray to Shiva, but they worshiped Krishna so nicely. Just like it's described, if this Gaura Arti, you see, in the original Gaura Arti, all the demigods came to attend the Arati. It's like, I don't know, but I know when I offer the Arti, and you offer the prasadam at the end, you know, after each article, then you offer it to the assembled devotees. But if the temple room is empty, what do you do? I offer it anyway, just in case some demigods have come to attend the arti. The prasadam, after I've offered the deities, and I turn to offer it to the assembled demigods in case there are any demigods there. See? The idea is the demigods will actually be very attracted by this Krishna consciousness. When they see us doing bhakti very nicely, they'll be attracted to come and see how we're serving Krishna. So just do very first class job of Krishna bhakti and then all the demigods will bless you and help you in your service.
Thank God. That's it. So Krishna something is accomplished.
Any other question? Yeah.
I hear that Prabhupada used to give some kind of gifts to his disciples, or his personal belongings and other gifts. Maybe you have something like this you can tell us about.
Yes, he gave me Krishna, the dream gift. Actually, Prabhupada, of course, my beads were given by Prabhupada. Japa beads, he chanted on them and put them in the mail and mailed them to me. He put my Brahmin thread over me also. Personally, he put the Brahmin thread over my head. So these are very special things, you see. He chants on them, hid on the beads, and then mailed them to me. He put the Brahmin thread directly, you see, in this way. So many letters also, Prabhupada. Those were the greatest gifts to receive from Prabhupada. Personal instructions. I can tell you there is nothing more wonderful than going to the mailbox and seeing a letter. Prabhupada had a special kind of envelope. It said, Sri Dandi Goswami A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami, in beautiful purple letters on the envelope. And he would have his secretary type the letters. He'd type the envelope and type the letter. It was much sweeter than the email. Now we just get email, you know. There was no email in those days. No internet. But you get a direct letter from Prabhupada, and you know how he would address it? You may be surprised to hear this. Prabhupada gave a big title to his disciples. When I would get a letter, see, I was a brahmachari then, it would say, His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Brahmachari. That's how Prabhupada, His Grace, he addressed me, His Grace. Sriman Sankarshan. His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Brahmachari. That's how the letter came from Prabhupada to me. To all his disciples. And to the ladies, it would be Her Grace, Srimati, you know, so and so, Devi Dasi. And there was nothing more relishable. I have many letters that Prabhupada. I still have the letters, you see. That's the greatest gift, all those letters I got from Prabhupada. Oh, wow. Those instructions, you see, the disciple takes those instructions into his heart. He embraces them in his very life and soul. Of course, one of the first gifts I got, Prabhupada handed me a flower one time. That was very special. Oh, Prabhupada handed me a flower. Oh, wow. I was thinking, how can I keep this flower, you know? If I was a householder, maybe I could take it to my home, you know, and preserve it somewhere on my shelf or something, you know. But I was a brahmachari. In those days, we didn't even have a brahmachari quarters. We would just sleep on the room, on the floor in the prasadam room. We didn't have any quarters at all, nothing. We would just stick all our stuff in the closet during the day. So what am I going to do with the flower? I don't even have a room to keep it in. So I thought, well, I know how I'll keep this flower. I ate it. That way it merges into my body, you know, Prabhupada, this flower that Prabhupada gave me. least I'll keep it for some time, you know. Because the body is changing. So for a while I had that flower merged into my body. So that was very special when I got that flower, the Prabhupada handed me a flower, you see. That was very sweet. He was going, actually, the system in those days, he would come back from the walk. He would go to the beach or to a park for a morning walk. In Los Angeles. And then he would, in the car, they would bring him back to the temple. And we'd all be waiting for them when he got back from his walk, you see. So we would line up all the way along the sidewalk, you see. There was a sidewalk going from the street back to his quarters. So we would line up and each one of us would hold a flower in our hand. And Prabhupada had a basket of flowers. They gave him a basket. And we would give our flower to Prabhupada. And he would give one back to us. So in this way, it was very sweet. We all got to give Prabhupada something and get something back from him, you see. So I was right at the front of the line, standing by Vishnu Janamana. He got much more than a flower. He got a hug. That was really special to get hugged by Prabhupada. Wow. That was really something. He didn't hug very often, but when he hugged you, that was very special when Prabhupada hugged you. So anyway, Prabhupada, I had exchanged flowers with Prabhupada, and now he was finishing up and going on his way to the quarters. And to see Prabhupada was not like just like seeing something. When you would see Prabhupada, you would want to drink him into your heart through the eyes, if you know what I mean. And you wanted to drink Prabhupada through your eyes into your heart. Because his darshan was the ultimate experience. And when you would see him, you would just want him, you want him to enter into your heart also. When you saw him physically in front, you would want that he could also enter into your heart. So anyway, Jai Prabhupada. So anyway, I was standing on the, Prabhupada was coming back towards his quarters now, and I stood up on the stairway, I stood there by the sidewalk on the stairs so I could get another darshan of Prabhupada. There was nothing sweeter than to see Prabhupada, just to look at Prabhupada. It was the ultimate purification for the eyes, you see. To see Prabhupada's form is like seeing Krishna. So I just wanted to have another darshan of Prabhupada, you know. As he was walking by to going to his quarters like a swan, Paramahamsa. So anyway, I was looking at Prabhupada, standing there, you know. And Prabhupada surprised me. He looked up at me. Because he saw I wasn't in line with the other devotees. And he was wondering if I had gotten a flower or not yet. So as he came by, he looked up and he held out a flower in his hand off to give me. And he gestured to me. He didn't say it verbally, but by his gesture he was saying, "Did you get a flower yet?" Of course, I could have lied to my spiritual master and gotten another flower. But I was always trained to be a very honest boy. I was raised as a Christian and always taught to be very honest. So I wouldn't think of lying to Prabhupada so I get another flower. So I held up my flower and said, Prabhupada, yes, I already got one. So then he was satisfied that I'd already gotten a flower and he went on to his quarters. So in this way, these memories of Srila Prabhupada are my greatest happiness. These gifts that Prabhupada is giving me, you see. His darshan, his personal instructions, my japa beads, my Brahman thread, and by this experience of coming here to Riga also. This is a special gift that Prabhupada has given me. He's allowed me to come here to Riga to share this wonderful process with all of you. So Prabhupada is still giving me gifts. I'm always receiving Prabhupada's gifts. And I just want to share them with the whole world so that everyone can get Prabhupada's gifts. Prabhupada's gifts are matchless. They have no comparison in this world. There is no match for these gifts. No equal. Prabhupada's gifts are matchless. And that was the original name of our storefront at 22nd Avenue. Matchless gifts. The store was actually a special gift store before we took it as a temple. They used to take matchboxes and do special things with them. And it was a matchbox without any matches in it. So the store was called Matchless Gifts. It was matchboxes with no matches. And then they went out of business, and then we took over, then we rented the storefront. But we didn't change the sign. We left the sign up there, Matchless Gifts. And actually, Krishna consciousness is the ultimate matchless gift. Matchless has a dual meaning. It means no matches. But it means it has no match. Matches has a dual meaning in English. It means one of those things you light, a match. But a match also means an equal. Two different meanings for the same word. So, in this way, the Krishna consciousness is a matchless gift. It has no equal. So Prabhupada is giving these wonderful matchless gifts to us at every minute. And now we have to share these matchless gifts with the entire world. So, are there any other questions?
Follow his idea, how the demigods are different from bestowing benedictions what Krishna gives and those benedictions which devotees can give.
The pure devotee is higher level than the pure devotee can give pure bhakti. The demigods can help, but they can only help to the extent that they are pure. See, a devotee like Srila Prabhupada, a Nitya Siddha devotee has come from the spiritual world, he's higher than the demigod. His blessings are more potent than any demigod blessing. So, blessings, according to the degree of one's purity, one's blessings have potency. That's why the pure devotees' blessings, they're more beneficial than the blessings of the demigods who are not completely pure. For example, look at Indradev. He's a demigod. He became so overpowered by lusty desires, he was cursed to have vaginas all over his whole body. So, the pure devotee, he's not overwhelmed by lust like Indra is sometimes overwhelmed by lust. So the pure devotees, according to one's level of purity, his blessings have more potency. So the purest devotees
make the sense of independence of giving blessings. Like you said, there's demigods who can give blessings as well, as much as Krishna provides them to give, but devotees can give the independent blessings. Is it also different from demigods?
As well, one could ask for material things also.
No. I mean, any blessing he gives, is it like demigods give only those things which are allowed? Krishna allows them to give.
They cannot, yeah, that's right. Even whatever benediction they give is only within the scope of what Krishna allows them to give. That's also there.
Devotees also, or no?
Devotee, yes, devotee is also within, but the devotee, by the pure devotee, is spiritually more powerful than Krishna. Because he, by his pure love for Krishna, he has conquered Krishna. And therefore he fully owns Krishna. And he has the power to fully give Krishna to you, the pure devotee. Demigods don't have that kind of power unless they're, you know. Of course, Lord Shiva is a pure devotee, but still he's entangled in the material energy. Sometimes he's carried away by lust. Lord Brahma is also a pure devotee. But still, sometimes he's carried away by false pride. Brahma mivohana lila. So, we therefore, our program is to take shelter of the pure devotees. We have our Srila Prabhupada, who is our founder acharya. We are all taking shelter of Srila
Prabhupada.
And to the extent that we are following Srila Prabhupada, to that extent we can bless others with pure bhakti. Any other questions?
Context of our teaching, we
in our preaching,
our teaching.
teaching.
Yeah, in the context of our teaching, we can interpret or use, understand the term of Ishta Devata. How, in the context of our teaching, Vaishnava teaching, Rama Gaudiya teaching, we can interpret or use in our understanding the term of Ishta Devata. What is Ishta Devata?
Ishta Devata.
Yeah. Do we use it, or is it
that term? I'm not so familiar with that term, but Ishta means controller, Devata. That I'd have to look it up. I'm not so familiar with that term. Devata means demigod, and Ishta means regarding the in reference to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's Isha, the supreme, the controller, And then ishta means in regards to or in reference to the Supreme Controller. And devata means refers to a demigod. So that term, ishta devata, could mean then a devotee of the Supreme Lord. In one sense.
Viens no skaidrējumiem varētu būt tāds, ka ishta saistīts ar devijātu sapratu, ishta kā visaugstākais, ishta, un ishta kā tas, kas attiecināms uz visaugstākais.
Devata is the Sanskrit version of the word devotee. Devotee, devata, same thing.
Jā, un sanskrita versija, tam, ko mēs uzskatām par bhakti, ir devata, tas nezinu, tas, kas kalpo.
So ishta devata means a devotee of the Supreme Lord. Next question.
According to her understanding, we can contact with Krishna through super soul. It's a kind of intuition. First of all, where is localized that intuition and kind of link with Krishna, with super soul, and can we always give attention and trust that inner intuition?
What is the last sentence?
Can we always trust and rely on that inner intuition that comes from
Yes and no. The fact is, the super soul is reliable and is always guiding us from within. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Sarvasya chaham sridhi sannavishto mataks. Let's see. Sarvasya chaham sridhi sannavishto matak. What is it? Sarvasya chaham sridhi sannavishto matak smritir gyanam apohanam cha. Krishna says, I am seated in the heart of all living entities, and from me come knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So the super soul is fully reliable in doing this. If you want to remember Krishna, he will give you the ability to remember Krishna. But if you want to forget Krishna, he will also give you the... So that super soul within, he will reciprocate with you according to your desire, and he will facilitate you. Even if you want to do something sinful, he will give the intelligence how to do that. But for the devotees, he always is guiding within the heart how to please the Supreme Lord. The more that one advances in Krishna consciousness, the more that one becomes attuned to the directions of the super soul within. But there's another voice that is competing with the Super Soul. That voice is the mind. So a neophyte devotee may not be able to distinguish between the Super Soul and the mind. Therefore, one has to take advantage of the external manifestation of the Super Soul. The Super Soul, the Lord within, he is called Chaitya Guru. He manifests externally as the spiritual master. The spiritual master is the external manifestation of the Super Soul. By placing ourselves under the guidance of the spiritual master, who is the Super Soul's representative, we can be guided how to perfectly execute the will of the Super Soul 24 hours a day. And as we become perfect in our surrender to the spiritual master, to the extent of our perfection in Guru's service, to that extent we're able to directly hear the guidance of the Super Soul within. I met sometimes Christian people who were preaching Christian message. They saw that I was a devotee of Krishna. So they came to me and they said, God within my heart told me to come and tell you that you were going to hell. So are they hearing the Super Soul within their hearts? No, they're hearing their own mind. So a neophyte devotee, he may sometimes not know whether it's the Super Soul or his own mind. But when he takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and carefully follows his guru's instructions, then the mind becomes defeated completely. And he remains always in direct contact with the Super Soul through the medium of Guru. So in this way, yes, one can be fully in touch with Super Soul at every minute. By the mercy of Sri Guru. That answer your question?
Yes, I have another intuition.
Can we say what this intuition we call in daily life is the same as Super Soul or is not?
It can be. It can be, yes. But sometimes we may think it's what's called intuition. Can be genuine intuition is the Super Soul, yes. But sometimes what we think is an intuition is actually just the flickering mind. But as you advance, that becomes less and less of a problem. So we're finally you reach a point where you have your intuitions and you're sure that it's the Super Soul guiding you. As you become more advanced, that will happen. Just like sometimes people say, well, how do you choose your guru? There's so many gurus in ISKCON, how do you choose your spiritual master? And we sometimes tell them, let your intuition be your guide. Because if one is sincerely executing Krishna consciousness, then his intuition becomes spiritualized. It becomes this non-different from the super soul. So, but sometimes devotees say, well, I don't have any intuition as to who my spiritual master should be, so what should I do then? Then we have to guide them in a different way. Because they don't feel that connection yet with the super soul strongly enough to understand what they should do. So for someone who is very advanced, yes, that intuition is very strong and they always know what they're supposed to do. And for someone who is not as advanced, it's not always clear. So guru is very essential in order to advance in Krishna consciousness. And even after one achieves the advanced stage, one still keeps himself under the order of his spiritual master. And we see this in our beloved Srila Prabhupada. He said, I can take no credit for this movement, but it's the wonderful miracles of this movement. I take no credit. But he said, if I have any credit, it is that I have faithfully carried out the orders given to me by my spiritual master. So actually, when advances, you can even hear your own guru within your heart speaking to you and giving you the orders. So does that answer your question? Okay, good. So, any other questions? Now it's your turn. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Как, чтобы не побеспокоить его, стоит ли ему, ну, что-то вообще
доказывать
говорить?
Что-то не так.
Да, не, ну, даже не доказывать, может, как ему помочь вообще? Чтобы направить на верную дорогу.
How can we help those people who are sure what they're talking to the God within, but actually they're not?
Well, we're not supposed to preach to the faithless people. That's the ninth offense. I remember we had a case in Dallas, Dallas, Texas, our temple in Dallas, ISKCON temple. One night a Christian fanatic came to our temple. He walked into the temple room with his shoes on. And he said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave this place. So how you can preach to somebody like that? The temple president said, in the name of Krishna, I command you to leave this place. So sometimes, you know, what can you do if somebody is not receptive to hearing philosophy? We just had to get rid of them. We had to get rid of him. That's all we could do. If somebody says, you know, Jesus told me to tell you that you're going to hell. Then you can remember the story of the gopis. There was one time, one time Krishna had a headache. And he said, oh, the only cure for my headache, he told his devotee, the only cure for my headache is if you can, I can get the dust from the feet of my devotees and put it on my head. That was the only thing that will cure my headache. So his devotee went out, his messenger went looking for some devotees who would give their foot dust. And he came to some smarta brahmanas, very strictly following the rules and regulations of the Vedas. And he asked them, "Can you? Krishna has a headache. He has asked for the foot dust from his devotees. Can you please give some foot dust for Krishna's headache to be cured?" And he said, "Are you crazy putting the our foot dust on Bhagavan's head? We will go to hell for sure." Forget it. So the messenger went on looking, well, I didn't get any foot dust, Krishna's headache, what to do? So he went on down and he came to Vrindavan Forest. And there he met the gopis. And he said that Krishna has a headache. And the gopis went, oh, Krishna has a headache. They immediately were in great anxiety to hear he had a headache, you see. What can be done? What can be done to cure his headache? They were so much in anxiety. So the messenger said, well, he asked for the foot dust from his devotees. They said, yes, we will give immediately the foot dust. And then the messenger, he was amazed. Because he remembered the smarta brahman saying, we will go to hell if we give foot dust. So he said to the gopis, well, aren't you girls afraid of going to hell? He said, we don't mind going to hell. We just want to cure Krishna's headache. So when they say, you're going to hell, because you're Hare Krishna, you're going to hell. You can tell them, well, if I can please Krishna by going to hell, I don't mind.
You can ask for their food dust.
Huh?
You can ask for their food dust.
The Krishna's food dust?
No, no. That devotee blessed you.
Whose foot dust?
That Christian who came.
Ask for his foot dust? I don't think so.
Если на самом деле вот у человека вроде может какие-то есть правильные понимания, но он чуть-чуть вот заблуждается. Все-таки, ну, он не настолько фанатичный. Как-то можешь ему помочь?
Just if the case is not as heavy, how we can help him then?
Yes, what?
If this case is not so heavy, he's kind of more or less pious, but just slight deviation.
Well, you can ask him, why do you say that I'm going to hell? What will be his answer then? Well, you can say, what is your proof that I'm going to hell?
No. Not the case of going to hell, but he's talking from inside to God. He meant the case, not the cursing going to hell, but what he thinks, what he talks to God from inside. But he's just misunderstanding, how is that?
I don't follow.
Well, he said the case is not as heavy
when he is more or less pious, and he
still what did claims, the other man say to him?
Yeah, he remains saying what he talks to God from inside.
Oh, he talked to God from the inside. I see. You can ask him, what did God say? And then see what he says and then take it from there. If he says, God said that I should surrender to him, you say, oh, very good. And if he says, God told me, you know, some nonsense, they will tell him that wasn't God, that was just your mind. You tell him. Tell him that was Satan actually posing as God. If he says some nonsense, but if it's a bona fide thing, you say, oh, very good. If he says that God said that everyone should surrender to him and with loving devotion, then you say, oh, very good. So anyway, anybody have one last question? Okay.
He's remembering the place where it was described, but while Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, was on earth.
Place?
Yeah. He remembers one place in the scriptures.
Oh, scriptures.
Yeah, where it's explained. But when Lord Chaitanya was here on earth, mm-hmm. demigods came as well.
That's right.
And they received love of God. So how we should take that?
Yes, but that doesn't mean all the demigods necessarily were here. What you can do is you can find out where it is in the books and show me, and then I can. Of course, I'm leaving now, but you can find out where it is in the books, and next time you see me, you can show me. So I can see exactly what's described there. If you have a translator, you can send me in English, you can send me an email. Have somebody, he can translate for you. You have my email address? I can give you my card. He has it?
He can type.
Type?
Letter. To be more personal.
No, no. Not practical now. You can type letters are okay, but it's still I still take letters. If anybody wants to write an old fashioned letter, I'll still take them.
Receiving and replying will be very slow and very late.
Yeah, he was just joking anyway. Because I had given an example about the letters I got from Prabhupada. That's all. He didn't really mean, he was meant as a joke. But we're not joking now. We're serious. So, I think it's time we stop. And we thank you all very much for your participation in this Krishna consciousness movement. Kindly translate that.
Mēs ļoti pateicīgi par to, ka jūs piedalījāties visu šajā Krishna satsangas diskusijā.
Now we are we're scheduled now to depart tomorrow morning, so we'll see what happens with the volcanic ash. We may be delayed once again, but we're scheduled to fly out tomorrow morning.
Mūsu mašīna, tā teikt, izlidošana paredzēta rītdien no rīta, tā kā mēs.
So kindly continue this process, devote your life nicely in the service of the Lord, and go back to home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Spasibo. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.
Is Grace Sankarjan Dasakari Maharaj ki
jai.